Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
What jumps out at me about today's gospel reading is that the Last Judgment almost seems too easy, almost. I remember growing up and hearing stories about how, for example, the ancient Egyptians thought that at death, the soul, the heart is weighed against a feather, and to enter paradise, the heart has to be lighter than a feather. Not easy. But what did we hear today? We will be judged on whether we did 6 tasks. Doesn't mention the 613 commandments of the Torah, just 6. Not even a vague measure of holiness. 6 specific tasks. And Christ even tells us what they are. That's like the teacher giving you all the answers to the final exam in advance. The 6 tasks are to feed the hungry, to give drink to the thirsty, to take in the stranger, to clothe the naked, to visit the sick, and to come to those in prison. You could do all these things in a week. We're asked to do these little things for one another, and his infinite grace, Christ magnifies them so that our little good deeds aren't just done for our neighbor, but also for the creator of the entire universe. Why does this big and scary last judgment sound so straightforward? I'll tell you why, and this is important if we want to understand the last judgment and also the spiritual life as a whole. Christ wants to save us even more than we ourselves want to be saved. We think we hope for heaven and eternal life and salvation, but however much we do, it doesn't come close. Christ wants to save us more than we ourselves want to be saved. We simply sow one seed on earth, and we receive 100-fold in heaven. Last week, we heard the same message in the parable of the prodigal son. Wanting salvation, we finally turn around and start walking back towards our Heavenly Father. The moment we take our first steps, he comes running to embrace us. With this in mind, the last judgment makes sense. Of course he gives us all the answers to the final exam. But that doesn't mean we're out of the woods. The 6 tasks aren't arbitrary, and they cut to the center, to the heart of the spiritual life. If you're like me and you don't already habitually do all of these things, reflect on why. I feel like I'm often busy or too distracted to think about it. My own personal problems often seem much bigger to me than other people's, which makes it easy to forget to take care of them. Now think about someone you know who does do these things. What else comes to mind about them? I'm thinking of a couple right now, and what comes to mind isn't just that they have feeding the hungry somewhere on their calendar. Each of these people is among the most peaceful, gentle, and present people that I know. That's because you can't separate these 6 tasks from a healthy soul. I once gave money to a homeless man in Boston, and he immediately took the money, ran into CVS, came out with several pairs of gloves, and passed them out to his buddies. He had plenty of reasons to hold on to the money, or to save it, or to spend it on something else, but he didn't. He was a sheep, and clothing the naked was a reflex for him. The spiritual life isn't just about doing certain things to earn our way out of hell. It's about being a certain way, being like that homeless man, being a sheep, a type of person for whom it comes natural to feed the hungry and visit the sick. Being a person already living with one foot in the kingdom and the presence of God. Moreover, this all goes a step further, as it turns out that when we live as sheep, we fulfill what Christ told us are both of the 2 greatest commandments, upon which Christ says all the law and the prophets hang: to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. In his grace, Christ reveals that whenever we served the hungry and the thirsty and the sick, we were serving him. When we love and serve our neighbor, we serve God. If we live life at the mercy of the currents of the world, we'll be like the goats. It's the default state. We might be rather happy, or at least comfortable. We might be able to surround ourselves with all the distractions and entertainment we could possibly want. But we're goats. These things all may lead to success in life in a worldly sense, but they won't soften our hearts and turn us into the types of people who instinctively feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, and visit the sick. These things won't turn us into the type of people who face the last judgment with joy and eager anticipation of an eternity in Christ's love. And unfortunately, most of the times we do find ourselves caught in the fast-moving currents of the world. A monk on Mount Athos once explained to me that the purpose of those monasteries isn't to get every single person in the world living like a monastic. It's to be a lighthouse to the world, so that no matter how much we get thrown around by the currents of life out here at sea, we can look up and always see Christ's light shining into the darkness from a place that's not caught in the currents, something solid that we can swim towards and grab onto when we need it. In the same way, if the churches and monasteries are lighthouses of the world, Great Lent is a lighthouse in time. No matter what happens year to year, however our life circumstances may change, whether our spiritual life is getting better or struggling, Great Lent comes every year to lift us up and out of the currents and give us a chance to reorient, become sheep, and prepare for resurrection. Great Lent starts in a week, and it forces us to live somewhat contrary to the ways of the world. Where the world says to indulge, we fast. Where the world says to kill time, we sanctify time with prayer. Where the world says to accumulate, we give away. If we want to become sheep, this is the key. Lent is the time to let ourselves be lifted up and out of the world's currents, and let our hearts be softened and reoriented towards Christ. Christ in the church is doing everything to ensure that we are saved, because Christ wants to save us even more than we ourselves want to be saved. He gives us Great Lent to help reset and reorient ourselves, and he gives us today's gospel to remind us what our goal is, what kinds of people we're trying to become. To become these kinds of people, sheep, we should slow down and pray. We should set all of our distractions aside and stay focused on the things that matter, again, especially during Great Lent. If we think of doing something good for the person in front of us, let's just do it, no wavering or hesitation. And starting next week, we should pay close attention to the prayers and the particular days, the Sundays we celebrate over the course of Great Lent. Lent is a gift. Let's go into it joyously and use this valuable opportunity to become the types of people for whom it's the most natural thing in the world to feed the hungry, to give drink to the thirsty, to take in the stranger, to clothe the naked, to visit the sick, and to go to those in prison. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.